And I do feel like the Lord has put a word on my heart. So if you want to turn with me, we're gonna read from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, beginning with the first verse. So Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. Familiar text. The writer of Proverbs, of course, is Solomon. He says in verse number 1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days, and long life and peace shall they add unto you." How many of you want to live a really long life? How many of you want to be blessed with peace? There it is, right there. I could just, you know, dismiss and we could have supper. That right there is a good word. Solomon said that if we continue to observe the commandments of the Lord, he said that it will add length of days, long life, and peace it would add to us. Verse 3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, and write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Verse 5, he says, "Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. But in all of thy ways acknowledge him, God, and he shall direct your paths." And I'm going to stop reading right there. Ask that you bow your heads one more time. Let's pray and just entreat the Lord for his anointing to minister the word. Heavenly Father, we are thankful today. We are thankful today, Father God, for the opportunity to gather in your name. We are thankful for this place where we are gathered for worship. And we are thankful, Lord God, to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth, and to honor and to exalt and to lift you up. And Father, we have done that with our singing and with our praise and with our giving and our worship. And now, Lord, we come to the reading of your word. And I would simply ask, oh God, that you would anoint me as an instrument in your hand. Anoint me with ability. Anoint me with divine utterance. Put your thoughts in my mind, your words in my mouth. Let them come forth under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Let the words that I speak this morning, Lord, be ordained of God, and let them fall upon ears that are touched of God to receive. Open our spiritual ear to hear and understand. Bless me now to be a blessing to these that are here this morning and that will hear this word. And Lord, we will forever give you the praise and forever give you the thanks. And we ask them now in the mighty and wonderful name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Now I want to give you the title of what the Lord has laid upon my heart. And I gotta move real slow when I say this. The title of my sermon this morning is Spiritual Spatial Disorientation. Say that three times really fast. You'll realize you can't say that three times really fast. Spiritual Spatial Disorientation. When Cody and I flew out of Boise on Saturday, headed down to Dallas, the sun was just coming up over the foothills in the east, and starting to illuminate the valley. And it was beautiful sunshine. I mean, there wasn't a cloud in sight. It was absolutely gorgeous. I had a window seat, and I watched as we took off down the runway and the plane slowly started to leave the ground. When we finally achieved our flying height, I mean, you could look out the window and you could see all the way to Montana. Now, I don't really know if you could, but it felt that way. I mean, it was clear as a bell, and you could see as far as the human eye can see. It was wonderful. When we landed in Denver, the sun was shining, and I watched as the plane slowly descended out of the heavens, and it began to come back to this earth and land upon the runway, and down the runway we went when it came back into contact with the ground, and we ended up at the terminal gate. We had a short layover, and then we were to fly into Dallas directly from Denver. Again, when we left Denver, the sun was shining. Not a cloud in the sky. It was beautiful, and I again had a window seat, and I watched the plane as it lifted off of the ground, and as we began to climb in altitude, and you could see the ground getting further and further away. And when we finally gained altitude and we had our sails set, if you will, for Dallas, amen, you could see forever. You could see all the way out there. It was beautiful. But everybody say, but. But when we got to Dallas, it was cloudy. And there was this major overcast that surrounded that area. You couldn't see the ground. You couldn't see any visible landmark. Just puffy white clouds. And you could feel the plane as it began to kind of descend and lower. And of course, we had to go right through the clouds, right? And so the more we began to descend out of the clouds, amen, I looked around and there was no visibility. You could no longer see the ground. You could feel the aircraft dropping, but there was no way of seeing what was below us. There was a loss of clarity. A loss of perception. Amen. You could no longer see for miles and miles. It was, amen. And at one point, the plane finally landed or came into the clouds, and we were just surrounded by a fog. It became difficult to discern which way was left and which way was right. It became difficult to tell if the plane was lifting or dropping. It became difficult to tell if the plane was banking left, banking right. It became difficult to ascertain where we were because there was nothing visible that would give us any kind of indication of what was fixed and what was firm so that we would know where we were in accordance with what was fixed and stable. It became difficult to determine which way was up, which way was down. We traveled for some time through the clouds. In the midst of the cloud, we were just surrounded by this fog that engulfed the plane. And you could feel the plane jerking here and there. And the captain put on the seatbelt sign. It's hard to hang on to your peanuts in a situation like that. We began to drop, and Cody looked at me and he goes, "Wow, that's a little spooky." And I said to him, "The pilot needs to trust his instruments. He needs to trust the gauges." And when I said it, the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart and said, "Son, that'll preach. that'll preach. So I want to tell you this morning that the Holy Spirit put this word upon my heart as we were descending into Dallas on the plane. Amen. And I want to talk to you this morning about spiritual, spatial disorientation. What in the world is spatial disorientation? Well, I can tell you from studying that it is the number one cause of pilot error. It is the number one cause of pilot error. It is what a pilot experiences when he is flying in conditions that would prevent him from being able to look out the cockpit window and see the horizon or the ground. Spatial disorientation can occur and most often occurs, amen, when a pilot does not have a normal visual cue to determine which way is up and which way is down. At some point, if they are not careful, they can feel, amen, like they are flying level and straight when in reality the plane is in a bank and headed to the ground. And everything feels normal. Spatial disorientation can occur when a pilot does not have the normal cues. It most often happens, amen, when they are flying at night. It often happens when they are flying over a large body of water at night. And they cannot tell where the night sky ends and the water begins. Are you following me so far? It happens in foggy and cloudy conditions when visibility becomes obscure. Spatial disorientation, amen, is the number one cause of pilot error. In fact, it is what killed John F. Kennedy Jr. in 1999. John Kennedy Jr. and his wife and his sister-in-law were on a plane, and they were flying. They were flying from New Jersey to Massachusetts when the plane that they were in plummeted into the Atlantic Ocean, and they died instantly. Amen. John Kennedy, listen to this. John Kennedy was pilot certified, but he was not instrument certified. And there's a difference. He was pilot certified, which means that he was allowed to fly during the daylight hours. He was allowed to fly during clear weather. Being pilot certified means that he was allowed to fly when he had a clear visual and he could clearly see. But he was not allowed to fly when the conditions would limit his visibility, and he would not be, because he would not be able to rely upon the instruments in the plane because he was not instrument certified. In other words, he could not fly the plane by the instruments only. He had to have a visual. When investigators went back to determine what happened to that flight on July the 16th, 1999, they went back and they discovered determined that the cause of the crash was spatial disorientation. They determined that it was pilot error. There was a series of things that took place. A series of things that took place that led to the crash. They were to fly from Fairfield, New Jersey, amen, to Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts. They should have left, and they were supposed to leave earlier in the day, but somehow the flight got delayed. And in the middle of the flight, darkness caught them off guard. Their flight plan took them over a stretch of open ocean water. And they determined that when darkness struck, that it became impossible to determine where the night sky ended and the water began. And as a result, John Kennedy became even absolutely disorientated and absolutely didn't know which way was up and which way was sideways. And they plummeted into the Atlantic Ocean, and all three of them perished. The only way that a pilot, the only way that a pilot can overcome spatial disorientation is to trust the cockpit instruments. In fact, that is the mantra of many schools that teach flight. The mantra is trust your instruments. The gauges on an aircraft's instrument panel are designed to guide pilots during low visibility. Individuals who train to fly under such conditions learn to override their natural senses, the natural input from their physical senses, and they learn how to fly the aircraft according to not how they feel, but according to what the instruments say. They have to learn how to trust their instruments. A pilot may take off in clear, sunny weather and then encounter clouds, and those who are not prepared to fly by their instruments may panic, and they may, go into a panic. But an individual that has been trained to trust their instruments can feel calm and calmly transition from looking outside the cockpit window to the gauges that are right in front of them, and know that their gauges will be able to guide them safely back to the ground. Pastor Gary, what in the world does any of that have to do with the Bible or us? There is a spiritual parallel that the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. There is a spiritual parallel that goes along with this spatial disorientation. In fact, I will tell you right now this morning that I have experienced it in my own life. There have been times that I have been flying along in life and I flew directly into a spiritual storm. There have been times that I have flown my life into a spiritual crisis of faith. There have been times that I have entered a tempest of doubt and indecisiveness, and I was not sure what I was to do. There have been times, amen, that things in my life became cloudy and uncertain. Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Some of you right here in the house this morning may be flying in some uncertain weather. There have been times that I didn't know which way was up and I didn't know which way was down. Times when my faith was tested and my life was challenged, and amen, and I felt like I should do one thing and the word of God directed me to do something else. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, we need to learn how to fly by our instruments. Amen. There have been times when I have flown my own life. My own life, I've entered into a place of turbulence and hopelessness and felt a violent desperation that tossed me to and fro, and I found myself spiritually disoriented. Amen, amen. I want to tell you this morning that there have been times that I had to make a conscious choice, amen, to either trust what I was feeling or trust the word of God. And I'm here to tell you this morning that the Bible declares that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. 1 Corinthians, the Bible, or 2 Corinthians, the Bible says in chapter 5 and verse number 7 that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. We are to walk by faith in God and not by sight. Over and over in the Word of God, we are told that we are to walk, or we are to fly, amen, by faith. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 38 says, the just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 17, again it is repeated, the just shall live by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 11, once again we hear the same words, the just shall live by faith. Beloved, let me tell you this morning that the Holy Spirit sent me here to tell you that we got to stop trusting in our perceptions. We've got to stop trusting in how we feel, and we got to start trusting in the hand of the Lord and leaning upon the arm of God and allowing God to become our fixed hope, and He'll see us safely through. Amen. Start flying by the instruments. Many of us are like John Kennedy. We are authorized to fly, but we're not instrument certified. Hello? I said, many of us are like John Kennedy. We're authorized to fly, but we're not instrument certified. What do you mean, preacher? Amen. What I'm saying is we are saved and we have faith in God, but only to the point that we can look upon a situation or a circumstance and we can figure out ourselves how we can get out of it. But I came to tell you this morning, amen, that what happens when we find ourselves in the midst of the storm and we can't tell heads, amen, from tails. What happens this morning when we find ourselves in a situation or a circumstance and we don't know which way is up or which way is down? Amen. Or we find ourselves in a set of circumstances and we don't understand or see any way out. Amen. I submit to you this morning that we got to stop trusting in what we see and start trusting in what we do not see. Amen. Trusting in our instruments. Amen. Because spiritual, spatial disorientation is just as real to us as spatial disorientation is to the pilot. It's real. It happens in our own life. How can we trust our instruments? I have three sets or steps, three sets of points that I want to make to you this morning. Step number one, our text reveals how we can begin to trust our instruments. Step number one, we are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Step number two, we are to lean not unto our own understanding. Step number three, we are to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. And as a result of those three steps, we have the promise that He will direct our path. Three simple things, and we have the promise that He will direct our path. Number one, what does it mean to trust in the Lord with all of our heart? Amen. Step number one, we need to trust. What does it mean when the scripture, our text says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. To trust means that we are willing to let go. Hello? We are willing to turn loose. Trust in the Lord. No, I want control of it. No, I want to hang on to it. No. Beloved, listen to me. The first step to flying by the instruments is learning how to let go and let God. Learning how to let go and trust that He knows best for us. Now, is that difficult to do? Often it is. Often it is. Why? Because sometimes we are just so impressed with ourselves that we think we know how to handle it. That's good preaching. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Hello? To trust means to let go and let God do it His way. But I don't understand. He's not asking us to understand. He's not asking us to figure it out from A to Z. He's asking us to put it in His hands and say, Lord, I may not understand and I may not know what you're doing or what you're up to, but I trust in you. I've put my trust in the Lord. We must trust God. Do you remember the story? And you will read it in the book of Mark. But do you remember the story when Jesus said to the disciples, let us climb into this boat and pass over to the other side. And they all got in the boat and started across the calm water. And about halfway across, there was a great storm that arose. And do you know where Jesus was in the middle of the storm? The Bible says that he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. How in the world could he sleep while they were in the midst of a storm? The disciples said, Jesus, Jesus, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the waves and looked at them and said, how is it that you don't have any faith? What allowed him to sleep in the middle of the storm? He said, I trust the gauge. I know what it looks like, but I'm going to trust the gauges. I'm going to trust the instruments. I know that my God is faithful. I know that my God, amen, has sent me into this world, amen, on a mission. I know that my God has a plan for me. I know that my God, amen, he's not going to let me go down halfway across. He's going to get me all the way to the other side. Amen. Let me just share with you this morning some highlights of why we can trust the Lord. Psalms chapter 1 and verse number 16 said, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Have you ever been flying through life and you came to a place, a storm, and you didn't know which way was left or right, up or down, and you felt like you were going under and you felt like you were going down? Amen. And the Lord just give you a peace in your heart and said, just hang on. Just trust me. Amen. You're not going to go down. You're not going to go under. I got you. Just hang on. The Bible said that he knows the way of the righteous. What does that mean? It means he knows who you are, where you are and what you're going through, and he's not about to let you go down. Just simply trust in the Lord. Let go and let God. Psalms chapter 18 and verse number 2 said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. He is my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Psalms chapter 18 and verse number 30 says, as for God, his way is perfect and the word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler. He is a shield to all of those that will trust him. Psalms 125 and verse number 1 says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abides forever. Amen. Do you see the theme? Amen. God is our shield. God is our truth. God is our fortress. He is our buckler. Amen. And he is our strong tower. We're not going under, but we're going over by the power of a living God. Hallelujah. So don't fly by what you feel. Trust your instruments. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Step number two, lean not to your own understanding. We need to stop trusting in our ability. Stop trusting in our understanding. Don't lean on our giftings. Don't lean on our talents. Don't lean on our own wisdom, but rather lean upon the Lord. The truth is that when we start thinking, amen, we are wise in our own eyes, we become foolish. The truth is that we are not wise when we start trusting in our own opinions. The truth is we are not wise when we start trusting in our own wisdom. The truth of the matter is that He is a whole lot smarter than we will ever be. But I don't understand what He's doing. It's not for us to always understand. It's for us not to lean upon our own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. A pilot gets in the air and spatial disorientation begins to take control, and literally a vertigo of the ear begins to happen. And they feel like the plane is headed one way when in reality it's straight and flying level. And if they go by their feeling, they would lift up the nose of the plane and climb higher in altitude and literally stall out. They get themselves in trouble by trusting in what they feel, leaning upon their own understanding. Amen. Let me just tell you, we can do the same thing spiritually. We begin to walk by feelings and not by faith, and we get ourselves in trouble. We begin to walk by feeling instead of by faith, and we'll get ourselves in a situation, amen, where we may not recover. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19 said, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." Think about that for a moment. The wisest of the wise on planet Earth is a fool compared to God. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1 and 25 said, because the fool of God, amen, or the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Isaiah 55 and verse 8 and verse 9, God said through His prophet, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. Amen. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts, and my ways above your ways. In other words, amen, in our wisest condition, God is still more wise than we are. Think about that for a moment this morning. Think about that for a moment this morning. Even in our wisest condition, we are but a fool in the sight of God. Now listen to what Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 12 says. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, there is a way that seems right unto men, but the end of the way thereof is destruction. Now let me break that down. There is a way that feels right to men. There is a way that seems right unto men. But the wisest man that lived upon the face of the earth, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, Solomon said, but the end of the ways thereof are the ways of death. Amen. There's a way that may feel right. There's a way that may seem right. But if it is not God's way, then we are headed for loss. Beloved, just like the pilot who spirals out of control and trusting his own feelings rather than relying upon his instincts. instruments. We must rely upon God and His Word in order to land our flight safely. Hallelujah. Step one, trust in the Lord. Step two, lean not to our own understanding. Step three, in all of our ways, acknowledge Him. In all of our ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge, Daniel Webster says, it means to admit as truth, to recognize and to respond. Acknowledge means to confess. In other words, when we acknowledge, we submit or we surrender or we turn control over to. What does it mean to acknowledge? It means that we acknowledge the Lord as Lord in our life and not just 80% of our life or 50% of our life or 30% of our life. Hello? No, we submit and acknowledge 100%. You are God. My trust and my hope have I anchored in You. I may be flying through turbulent weather, but Lord, I believe Your word. I believe that the word of the Lord is sure, and I have my hope in the instruments of God. Amen. I have my hope and my trust in God's strength and in God's wisdom and in God's purpose and in God's plan. Amen. And my life is completely surrendered unto the Lord. We come to the place that we acknowledge God as God, acknowledge His purpose and His plan for our life. Sometimes we are directed to go through the storms of life in order to fulfill the purpose of God. Now, wait a minute, Pastor Gary. I thought if you give your heart to the Lord that everything would just be roses and beautiful sunsets. No, listen to me really carefully. Sometimes we are directed to fly right through the storm to fulfill the purpose of God. Do you have chapter and verse for that? I'll just point out that Jesus is a premier example of that fact. He came to surrender His will unto God the Father. And let me just use this morning, a loose vernacular. He flew right through the Garden of Gethsemane and flew all the way to the cross where He laid down His life. He flew right through the storm, amen, so He could fulfill the purpose and the divine will of the Father, so that the lost human race could find salvation in Christ. Sometimes we are directed right through the storms of life to fulfill the purpose of God. But remember, when you are flying through the storm, you cannot lean upon your own understanding. You cannot trust in your own wisdom. You cannot, amen, think that you yourself can save yourself. But beloved, you must trust your instruments and lean upon the Word of God and lean upon the power of God and lean upon the arm of God, and He will see us through. Amen, 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 amen. Learn to lean. We need to learn to lean, or how to put our trust in the Lord. Learn to lean not upon our own understanding. Learn to acknowledge God and submit to God and the will of God and the purpose of God for our life. And when we do, we are given a mighty and wonderful promise. It's the very last portion of verse 6. Step one, trust the Lord. Step two, don't lean on your own understanding. Step three, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. And when we do those things, we are given a wonderful and precious promise of the Lord. It says that He will direct our path. He shall direct our path. What does it mean to have someone direct? Again, according to Webster's dictionary, direct means to order, to instruct with authority, to tell someone the way, to cause to move, to face or go in a desired direction. It indicates the desire or the destination. Direct, to give a command of guidance. A couple of synonyms: to supervise, to guide, to oversee. What a great promise of God. If we put our trust in the Lord, we don't lean upon our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge Him. He said, I will lead, I will guide, I will direct, I will instruct. Amen. I will give you the desired destination. I'll give commandment toward your guidance. I will instruct with authority. I'll tell you the way to go. I'll tell you which way you need to move. I will direct your path. Close your eyes, pretend for a moment. Just imagine you're in a plane, you're in the captain's chair, and you are flying, and you're not certain if you are coming too close to the ground. The oddity dropping into Dallas, it felt so strange to not be, we knew we were descending, we knew we were dropping, but we had no idea how close the ground was. We had no idea where we were. Imagine yourself in that position. Imagine yourself in that situation. And you can't see, you don't know where you're going. Your pilot certified. But are you instrument certified? In the midst of a situation like that, that Cody described as, wow, that's spooky. In a situation like that, can you transition from the cockpit window to the instruments and say, I know that I know everything is going to be all right. I know that I know that this plane is going to touch down. I'm not worried that I can't see. I'm not worried that I don't know which way is up or which way is down. I know what God hath declared. This morning I ask you, trust your instruments. We may experience moments of doubt. We may experience moments of uncertainty, but if we learn to trust our instrument, and if we learn to trust the word of the living God, He will keep us safely on course. This morning, the Holy Spirit sent me to remind you to trust your instruments. Remember that God's plans are perfect. Remember that His plans are pleasant. Remember that His presence is always promised to each one of us here this morning. Maybe you are here, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you are here this morning and you feel as though you are flying through turbulent weather. Maybe you are here and you are searching for direction. Maybe you are here this morning and you are flying your life right through the middle of a storm. And there is no reliability. There is no certainty. There is no direction. There is no comfort. I came to tell you this morning, trust your instruments. Trust in God. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, lean upon Him and acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. He will guide you safely to the runway. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus this morning, while we recognize that there are moments in our life when we cannot fly by what we see, but we must fly by faith. We must be instrument certified to trust in the Lord and lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge you. And then we will find direction and decisiveness. Those this morning, Lord, who are experiencing spiritual, spatial disorientation, I ask that the Holy Spirit would allow them to know we don't walk by what we see. Allow them to know you can trust your instruments. Don't panic. Do not fear. Be of good cheer. Because the God that we serve is faithful. And he is mighty to lead and to guide. I pray this morning for every individual that's heard this message. I pray, Father, that you would instill it into their spirit. Help us to know that we can trust in the instruments that you have provided for us. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I pray this prayer in the name of Jesus. How many of you here in this house this morning, and you would be willing to slip up a hand and say, Pastor Gary, God sees your hand, brother. And your hand, and your hand, and your hand. And yours, and yours, and yours. And your hand, and your hand. And your hand, my brother. Anyone else? Pastor Gary, I'm flying through the middle of a storm, and I feel a little disoriented. God sees your hand. But this morning, I realized the necessity of trusting in the instruments that you've provided. And I will not fail, and I will not falter. Not through my wisdom or my ability, but I put my trust and my hope in you, Lord. And I know that you will safely guide me. I know that you will safely lead me. Are there any more hands? You'd slip it up and say, Pastor, that's me. You preach this message for me. Stand to your feet all over the building. There have been hands lifted up all over this building this morning. Hands lifted up all over this building this morning. Let me pray with those that lifted their hands, and then we'll bless the food and ask that you please stick around. There's more than enough. There is more than enough. You say, Pastor, well, I didn't bring anything. Well, don't worry about it. If we come up short, we'll pray and God will stretch it. There's more than enough. Amen. Please stick around. Let me pray with those that lifted their hands. Heavenly Father, we have all been there. We have all been there. We have all been to the place where we were flying blind. We've all been there when we were surrounded with uncertainty. We've all been there when we didn't feel like there was anything reliable. And we may have been feeling to go one way, and your word told us to go another way. Help us to recognize, Lord, that the only way we survive is by trusting the instruments. The only way we survive, the only way we come back to planet Earth and land on the runway is by trusting in the Lord. By not leaning upon our own understanding or our own wisdom, but in all of our ways acknowledging you and then knowing that you will direct our paths. For every hand that was lifted here this morning, Lord, I pray that you would give them assurance that the anchor holds. Give them assurance this morning that they can trust their instruments. It may feel a little spooky, around them. But be of good cheer. Everything shall be all right. Encourage every heart. Encourage every heart. I pray this morning. Every hand lifted, let them leave differently than what they came this morning. And Father, we ask it and we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus.